analysis of the book God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael Sproul, and he's the president or the leader of the seminary called the International Baptist College out in Tempe, Arizona. He's the pastor of the church out there as well, Tri-City Baptist Church. He's written this book, and we have many things that we want to say about this, including the thing we're going to talk about today. We have a total of actually 280 points we want to talk about. We're on point number 60 out of 280, and we're on page number 58 of this book, where Dr. Sproul says this. He says, D.A. Waite, speaking of your speaker here, says, in fact, it says in the article, A Plea for a Perfect Bible, D.A. Waite's website, Jeffrey Kuhn claims so and so. Then he says, D.A. Waite says, the translators were exact, that's in quote, in their choices of the Greek words to underlie their English text, so that these choices are the exact words of the originals themselves, end of quote. What we're saying here is that the words that are underlying the King James Bible and the New Testament, those Greek words, I believe, are the preserved English, or preserved Greek words, rather, that God has given to us in the originals that Paul wrote, and Peter and John and Matthew and all the other writers of the New Testament. That's my belief. And he doesn't agree with that. He doesn't think that the words of God were preserved, and he doesn't know where they are, apparently. He takes a position accordingly. He says he's a majority text position man, but he's favoring the critical text in many of his comments. But he doesn't believe that we know where these Greek choices were. I believe that we do know, and he quotes me on pages 48 and 49 of my book, Defending the King James Bible, allegedly. He says, this statement by Waite refers to the TR behind the 1611 King James Version. Then he says, Ruckman asserts that the KJV translators were perfect in their English choices. Kuhn and Waite assert that when different, TRs compete as to 1 Corinthians 10:11 or Romans 8-11, the KJV translators were perfect in their Greek choices. End of quote. My friends, they use the Beza's text 1598, 5th edition. We believe in some other things, maybe 190 places where they chose other sources. But basically, we believe that those words were the words God preserved for us. Writer's comment number 61 out of 280 on this page number 59, where Sproul says this. This is the teaching of double inspiration. End of quote. Now, friends, this is absolutely, totally false. I don't believe in double inspiration. Dr. Jeffrey Kuhn of Singapore does not believe in double inspiration. We do not believe the King James Bible is inspired or God-breathed. We believe it's the only accurate translation of the God-breathed original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that have been preserved for us. And that's what we say. It's not double inspiration. The King James translators weren't inspired, and the words in the English are not God-breathed. God did not breathe out men anyhow, so he can't breathe out the translators, as some people assert. He breathed out words, only words of Hebrew, a few words in Aramaic, and the words in Greek in the New Testament. It's not double inspiration. Sproul is false, and a false accuser, which is banned by one of the commandments of God. All right, number 62, point number 62 out of 280. Also on page number 59, where Sproul says this. But when those terms refer to an exactly perfect 1611 KJV or 1769 revision of or a 1517 or 1598 or 1633 or 1881 TR, then one is really and truly teaching double inspiration. End of quote. My friends, inspiration means God's breathing out of his words. God did not breathe out any of these translations. He did not breathe out any of these editions of the Textus Receptus. He lists the ones by Erasmus of 1517 or 1516, Abiza 1598, or 1633 of Elzevir, and so on, 1881 of Scrivener. My friends, these are all editions of the manuscripts that they had in their hands. And these editions were not inspired or God-breathed editions. It's the words themselves that God gave to the original men that wrote the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And in the Greek New Testament, those are the words that have been inspired words because they were given originally by inspiration and preserved by God through preservation. And this is not double inspiration to stand for the Greek words underlying the New Testament in our King James Bible. This is not double inspiration. This is a false charge, and it's false witness against your neighbor, which God forbids. It's lying, to put it plainly. All right, let's go to number 63 out of 280 points that we want to discuss on page 59 also. He says the Scrivener, until Scrivener placed the KJV translator's words back in a Greek text in 1881. How could God allow the exact Greek words of the originals to be inaccessible to 18 centuries of Christians? End of quote. My friend, that's the argument that we use against the Westcott and Hort people, because they say that the originals go back to the 4th century and the B and Aleph Vatican and Sinai manuscripts. And we don't believe that the Lord has not given us the complete scriptures for those 1,800 years of silence, 4th century to the 19th century. And he used the same argument here that we don't have the real words until the Scrivener put them in the King James translator's words back in the Greek. He didn't put the translator's words back in the Greek. He did not back translate the English back into the Greek. Now, this is the most false of all statements I've seen yet of Sproul. He actually took the text, the edition of Beza, who was one of the reformers, friend of Geneva there, Switzerland, friend of Calvin. What he did was take Beza's, what the Scrivener did, Dr. Scrivener, take Beza's translation, or Beza's edition, I should say, of the Greek text, and translated it into, not translated, but simply copied it into his text and updated maybe 190 places that he did not take Beza. He did not originate a text. Scripture did not originate a text. He used the text that underlies, the words that underlie the King James Bible, and he said that the basic text that they used was the edition of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. And to say that Scrivener placed words, the translator's words, back in the Greek text is absolutely deadly false. Point number 64 out of 280, found on page 60 of Sproul's book. He says this. He says, when Scrivener put those English choices into Greek, were pastors and scholars able to have the purest Greek text that identically matches the original? Again, he has a false charge against Dr. Frederick Scrivener, the greatest Greek scholar in his day. And he said that Scrivener put those English choices into Greek. My friend, Scrivener started with the Greek text, a Greek edition of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. I don't know how much I can repeat this. And he took that and put those Greek words in his edition. The only words that were changed were the words that the King James translators chose to use other than Beza's 5th edition, 1598, and in the appendix of Scrivener's book, and by the way, we have that in print. The Dean Bergen Society has reprinted Scrivener's text. We call it Scrivener's annotated edition, annotated Greek text. What he did was to print those words that underlie the King James Bible, basically Beza's words, and then there are about 190 places where the King James translators chose to use a different edition of the Greek text, and so they did. And those 6 or 7 different places that they chose to use are listed by Scrivener in the appendix. You can get this whole Scrivener's annotated edition here at the Bible for Today materials and headquarters. Simply ask for it. It's number 1670. 1670, BFT number 1670, is printed and reprinted by the Dean Bergen Society. All he did was to take those Greek words that underlie the King James Bible and put them in an edition of the Greek text. He did not put English choices back into Greek as if he back translated. Absolutely false. Point number 65 out of 280, on page 60 still. And Sproul says this, talks about the 5,000 to 600 Greek manuscripts available. And then he says in 1881, when Scribner converted the KJV translator's choices into Greek. How can Sproul say this falsehood? Does Sproul have any evidence for this? That the work of Scribner was to take the King James Bible English words and back translate them into Greek? Where's his proof? It's ridiculous. He has no proof. Scribner himself, if he reads the introduction of Scribner's 1881 edition, he says they took the 1598 words of Beza's edition, 5th edition, 1598, and used them. 99% of the words are the words that were in the Beza's text. They weren't originated by Scribner. He did not translate the English back into the Greek, as this man Sproul falsely charges. Where does this man get this falsehood, these lies, spewing forth in this book, God's Word preserved? Why doesn't he get this thing straight? And why are Bible-believing Christians following this man and this book that he's written to us? All right, point number 66 out of 280 on page 61. Again, Sproul says this. The exact Greek words and text, the original text, was not accessible in one place until 1881 when Scribner placed the KJV translator's choices in Greek. Again, he emphasizes a lie. Bald-faced lie. Falsehood. How could this man, fundamentalist, Bible-believing man, saved man, use the tactics of the devil? Why does this saved fundamentalist man use the tactics of the devil? Lying. Now, I'm not calling him a devil. Please do not misquote me. I'm saying this fundamentalist, Bible-believing, saved man that's going to heaven, who is same as I am, and a Baptist too. Why does this saved man use the tactics, the methods of the devil, and employ lies in his book? Repeatedly. The same thing. He's saying, Dr. Scribner, in 1881, took the English King James Bible and translated the English back into Greek. That was not what Scribner did. The University of Cambridge asked Dr. Scribner to do one thing. Actually, two things. The first thing, they wanted to get out an edition that underlies the King James Bible. The words underlying the King James Bible. He did that. He used the Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598, and put that in print for the University of Cambridge as their request had asked. Secondly, they said, we want you to take and show by clear means the changes that the 1881 Greek, or rather English edition of the English Revised Version had done to the Greek. They put those clearly, and the ones, the choices of the Westcott and Hort false Greek text of Westcott and Hort, show the difference between that Greek text and the English 1881 and the King James Bible's words. And so he did. All the changes, the additions, the subtractions, the changes, Dr. Scribner put in bold, bold letters. And then at the footnotes, he showed how the English Revised Version of 1881 and the King James, and the Westcott and Hort Greek text had changed the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. He put those changes in the footnotes. That's what he was commissioned to do, and that's what he did. And in the appendix, as we said before, he used the different places where the King James translators chose to use another Greek edition rather than Beza. But he did not translate the English words into Greek himself. He used the words of Beza, 5th edition, 1598, 99% of the time. Well, let's go on to point number 65 out of 280. Still on page number 60, where Sproul says, well, I guess we talked about that. We're on 65. When Scribner put the translated choice into Greek, which is absolutely false. Go on to 66, number 66 out of 280. We're on page 61 now of Sproul's book. He says then there was no exact Greek text of the original. It was not accessible in one place until 1881, when Scribner placed the KJV translator's choices in Greek. He repeats the same words as he did with number 65 on page 60. The same words. In fact, he used it twice. Scribner put those English choices into Greek twice on page 60. So our number 64, 65, and 66 are identical. They're the same problems, the same choices of words that he used, all of which are false. All of which are false. Let's go on to point number 67 out of 280. We're now on page 62 of Sproul's book. And he says this, quote, instead of having a Greek text and then translating it into English, they first, talked about the King James translators, they first created a new Greek text from their English version, and in so doing created the exact Greek text that Ku deems perfect, but from their English translation choices. According to the KJV only theology, no one dares question the translator's Greek text choices for their unpublished new edition, TR, end of quote. Again, a false, lying accusation. This fundamentalist man, this Bible-believing man, this Dr. Michael Sproul, there, the pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, connected with International Bible College, Baptist College, I think he's the president of it, he uses the devil's tactics. And the devil is the father of lies, and this man is lying through his teeth. Notice what he says. He says the King James translators created a new Greek text from their English version. Where does he get this nonsense? Where does he get this lie, this falsehood? Let me repeat again, my friends. I hope you're listening. I tell you, you say, why do you answer this man? Well, I'm answering it because this book is filled with false statements, twisted, perverted statements. Lies, the tactics of the devil, His Majesty the devil, tactics and principles of lying, which is the devil's tactic. You say, well, how can a fundamentalist saved person, a Baptist preacher, lie and commit falsehood and practice the devil's tactics? Is he a devil? No, he's not a devil. He's God's servant. He's saved. He's born again. And he's fallen into the practice of using the tactics of the devil by lying. John 8:44 outlines who is the father of lies. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer in the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why Bible-believing Christians should speak truth, not lies. Let's go on to point number 68 out of 280, Dr. Sproul's book, page 62. He says that, talked about Ruckmanism, and he believes English is inspired and corrects the Greek and Hebrew. We don't go along with that Ruckmanism nonsense and errors. We don't believe that King James corrects the Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken. This is heresy, very great heresy. And he says, but rather the TR that underlies the KJV because they do not want to appear that they agree with Ruckman. No, we don't agree with Ruckman. However, both the English translation and Greek text production happened at the same time by the same men. And to quote again, lie, lie, and more lies. Tactics of the devil, tactics of the devil. My friend, the English translation in 1611 and the Greek text used by them did not occur in the same time at all. The text, the words, the Greek edition that they used was Beza's fifth edition, the date of it, 1598. They began their work in 1604, 6 years later. And they picked up a text that was in print. They picked up an edition of the Greek text that was in print, 1598. They started their work in 1604, took them 7 years, 1611 it was finished, and they had a Greek text in print that they used 99% of the time. They did not construct the text themselves. Falsehood after falsehood. Let's go on to number 69 out of 280. Still on page 62. He says the New King James uses the same TR choices as the original KJV underlie its English renderings. It does? No. The New King James Version does not use always the same Textus Receptus Greek words. Without even looking, without even trying, I was simply analyzing the New King James Version from Genesis to Revelation, and in the New Testament I happened upon at least three places where they did not use, the New King James Version did not use the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. They use the Westcott-North critical text. So it's not right to say it's the same text as the King James Bible. Now, how many more it uses, I don't know. I've never taken a test of it. Never checked it. But some of the men that have checked it reported there are over 100 places, maybe more, maybe 200 or 300 places, where their text that was used in the New King James did not conform to the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, although they claimed that it was Textus Receptus. Let's go to point number 70 out of 280 on page 63, where Sproul says, it appears that the arguments by the King James Version only position for a perfect KJV translation created TR are really a discussion to divert attention so that they can preserve Blaney's 1769 revision of the KJV while avoiding any association with Ruckman. And according to notice, he says, he calls it, in quotes, KJV translator-created TR. As if, again, the translators created the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies the King James Bible. My friend, again, I say they did not create it. They did not create it. They followed Beza's 5th edition, 1598, 6 years earlier, before the 1604 translators got in touch with their beginning of the translation. From 1598 to 1604, when they began their translation, 6 years, the Beza's 5th edition had been in print, had been available, and was used by the King James translators. They did not create their own Greek text. They go on to number 71. Point number 70. Well, I guess I've jumped to 77. Well, we use this figure. That took a 7 for 1. We skipped from 70 to 77. Right, we'll just go ahead and skip those figures and go on to 77 since I've net numbered them all that way. So number 77, jumping from 70 to 77 instead of 71. Just have to forgive me for missing numbers. Point number 77, he says this. The teaching of some KJV-only leaders that Scrivener's TR is exactly the same as the autographs appears to allow the novice to hold up a KJV-only position without identification with Ruckman and double inspiration. Well, this is correct. We don't have anything to do with Peter Ruckman and his double inspiration view. And it's not Scrivener's TR. It's the TR that Scrivener printed. It's Beza's Textus Receptus that was in 1598, 5th edition. And it certainly is, in my judgment, and I followed this thing since 1970, it is my judgment that the words in the underneath the King James Bible, the Greek New Testament words, are God's preserved words. They're inspired words. They're accurate words. They're inerrant words. Those words underneath our King James Bible, but it was not a work and creation of Dr. Scrivener. It's not, in that sense, Scrivener's TR. It's the edition that was printed by Dr. Scrivener, but it's the edition, basically 99% of it, of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. I don't know how many times I have to repeat this, but they keep shooting us and so on and mentioning that completely, so we'll go ahead and put that in. All right, let's go to number 78. Out of 280. You see I skipped there, but that's all right. They say they received reverence in weight and clouds using, or wing rather, weight and clouds wing of the KJV only movement. I remember, I've told you before, I despise this King James Version only label, as does David Cloud, I'm sure. We don't go along with this KJV only because that's the term used by Sproul and others to indicate Peter Ruckman's position. And we don't follow that position. We use the King James only, but we're not King James only in that sense because it's the Ruckman position usually meant. So we divorce ourselves from that. But it says, to receive reverence and weight and clouds wing of the KJV only movement as perfect as those Greek and Hebrew choices. But the difference is, or what is the difference? In actuality, both views give double inspiration power to the Anglican priest's product. End of quote. There's so many lies in that statement, I don't know where to begin. Let me simply say this to start with. In actuality, both views, that is, that the King James Bible's Greek text is proper and the King James Bible has been inspired of God, as Ruckman teaches, he says both these views give identical positions. They give double inspiration powers to the Anglican priest's product. They don't give double inspiration. We don't believe that the Greek that underlies our King James Bible was given by inspiration, but they're inspired words if they're the exact words of the originals that were given by the product of the process, rather, of inspiration. There's a difference between the process and the product. The process and the product. And furthermore, it says to the Anglo priest's product, as if the ones who were the King James translators from the Anglican Church formed and began this particular Greek text, which is false. They didn't begin it. They used a Greek edition, Visa 5th edition, 1598, that already was in existence. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9, as he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And we'll tell you how to get both these excellent books. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friend, we're going to continue this next week. We trust that you'll stay with us. This is an important product, important subject we're talking about. It is a product, but it's an important subject, important broadcast. We're going to be getting number 990 broadcasts of this particular idea of defending the King James Bible. But Dr. Sproul's work has got to be answered. We're going to continue to answer it. The King James translators used Visa's 5th edition, 1598, and we still hold the King James Bible to be the only accurate translation of the Scripture. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air. Heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, the director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 990. 990 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Hebrew Masoretic text, the traditional Greek received New Testament Greek text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. Our website is biblefortoday.org, where you can hear 24/7 from the Bible for Today Baptist Church, verse-by-verse preaching, Romans through Revelation. We'd like you to hear from you. We want you to give us a call if you can. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, hardback edition, why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you received your Defined King James Bible yet? Uncommon words of the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, starts at 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 54,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. I will continue again, my friend, in review and critique of this book by Dr. Michael D. Sproul, God's Word Preserved. It's a defense of historic and separatist definitions and beliefs. Now, Sproul is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church, Tempe, Arizona. He's, I think, the president of the International Baptist College out there in Tempe. Written this book. We have about 280 things we want to talk about. Most of them we're against. And we're on point number 79. Point number 79 of this broadcast. We're on page number 61 of his book, 63 rather, of his book. We're looking at a footnote now, footnote number 44. He's quoting from Charles McLean, and he says, the Calvary Baptist Theological Journal, he says, Dr. Strauss said the KJV is in error with the word in, should be translated by in Psalm 119:89. Status of possession is for the one who believes. King James is so on. He's talking about forever thy word is written in heaven or established by heaven, preserved in heaven. However, Psalm 119:89 has to say, I believe it's forever, O Lord, thy word is perfect in heaven, established in heaven. I just have to remember what that is. Settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, that word in is the Hebrew word beth, which can be translated by or in or with. And all I'm saying, I think I made this mention first, and that Strauss used it that I had mentioned first. I think he got it from me, but he's right. It could be translated by heaven or in heaven or by heaven. The heavens settled it. There's nothing wrong with that. The choice of the beth for in or by, that means all those different things. Now let's go on to point number 80 out of 280 on page number 64 now, where Sproul says, as a Greek, he says the choice, let me see, if the translator's choices are the exact words, if the translator's choices are the exact words of the original, then God equally inspired the 1611 translator's work as he did James or Moses himself. Absolutely false. The Lord did not inspire the translator's work. Now, he says, Sproul believes that the King James Bible translators created a Greek text on their own, a Greek edition. False. They used the edition of Beza's 5th edition, 1598, and they began their translation of the King James Bible in 1704, 6 years later, but they had in their hands this Beza's 5th edition, 1598, and used it. And he says that it's equally inspired as the 1611 translator's work. False, indeed. The words of inspiration, the words that underlie the King James Bible, are inspired words. They were given not as in the process of inspiration. God never repeated the process of inspiration. God's breathing out his words. That was given in Old Testament under Moses and David and others. The New Testament under Paul and Peter and James and John. But that process was not repeated beyond the time that they wrote their first original writings. But the words that were given by the process of inspiration are inspired words. And those words that have been preserved, I believe they've been preserved, the words underlying the Greek, underlying the King James Bible, whether it's the Old Testament Hebrew or Aramaic, New Testament Greek, those words have been preserved by God. They're inspired words underlying our King James Bible. But they don't say that the King James translators had a work that they've made up and that's inspired. No, my friend, the words were already there preserved in the Beza's text, which we believe were inspired words because they're preserved words, the same words of the original Hebrew, original Greek New Testament words of Peter, John, Paul, and others. All right, let's go on to point number 81 out of 280. We're on page 65 of Sproul's book now. And he's talking about the support of Hebrew or Greek manuscripts. He says, then the double inspiration of Reckman, not in English, but in Greek. He says, those of us who hold to the preservation of the words underlying our King James Bible say that that's a double inspiration similar to the Rachma, not in English, but in Greek. Again, he's trying to say there's double inspiration. God did not breathe out English words. He breathed out Greek words, a little Aramaic, and some Hebrew words in the Old Testament. And to say double inspiration, he's got to clobber us over the head. He's got to yoke us up with Peter Ruckman and his false view of double inspiration. He believes that God breathed out the words of the King James Bible. He believes that God breathed out the words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And the double inspiration means that he also came along in 1611 or 1604 or 1611 and breathed out those words that are in the King James Bible. We don't believe that at all. But since he says, well, you fellows believe that the Greek words and Hebrew words and Aramaic words underlying the King James Bible are the preserved words of God. These are the inspired words of God. And so you have double inspiration also. No, my friend. We don't have to double anything. The inspired words have been preserved by God, and this is a false accusation. All right, point number 82 out of 280, still on page 65 of the Sproul's book. He says, why? He says, because the translators are declared perfect according to weight and coup. No one could ever touch the TR of the King James Bible translators' creation. Because believers have used it for many years, the blessing of God is on it. You see, he says the translators are declared perfect. I don't declare the translators perfect, according to Wade and Koo. I'd like him to find a chapter and verse and a quotation from any of my books or any of my radio messages or any of my tapes. I'd like him to say if he can find out that I ever declared that the translators are perfect. The translators were sinners such as all of us are sinners. Some of them saved by God's grace, such as some of us. Some of them lost, perhaps. But the translators are not perfect. Never have I said that. Never has Dr. Koo said that. And then point number 82, he says, no one should ever touch the TR of the KJV translator's creation. Again, he says the translator's creation? They didn't create anything. They did not create any Greek words. The translators used the editor's edition, the edition of this man, Beza, 5th edition, 1598. That's what they used. They didn't make one of their own. They didn't have a translator's creation. False and lie, completely. Terrible, terrible logic and terrible investigation of facts that this man Sproul has followed. Page number 66. Now, point number 83 out of 280. He said, they argue that just as the acceptance of the canon was a once-for-all event, so the creation of the TR behind the KJV was a once-for-all event for the world and by extension through the KJV to all English-speaking people. End of quote. It says the creation of the TR behind the KJV. It wasn't a creation. It was a following, basically, 99% of the time, of Beza's 5th edition, 1598. And these are the words that underlies our King James Bible. There were only 190 places out of over 140,000 words of the Greek New Testament where they were different than Beza's 5th edition, 1598. So I think he's stretching something, talking about some sort of a new, as if it's new creation, never been seen before. All right, to point number 84 out of 280. We're on page number 66 now. He says, talks about the inerrancy and they believe that the Bible only contains. This is now what James White, Bob Jones University, Calvary Baptist Seminary, as well as James White, and Kudelik, and Price, and Hudson, do not believe in inerrancy and believe that the Bible is only contains the Word of God. The claim is not true. His claim is a bad example of others, so on. He's writing about Dr. Koo. Dr. Koo is against the translators and the writers, I should say, of these books, like Hudson and Price and Kudelik and James White. And they don't believe that the words underlying our King James Bible are God's preserved words. And Dr. Koo and I certainly do believe that. Well, let's go on to point number 85 out of 280. We're on page 67 now of Michael Sproul's book. It says, quote, this Pope's belief, the perfect version, which is so similar to KJV onlyism, is refuted in the preface of the KJV, and so on. Now, my friend, this Pope, talking about Pope Sixtus, is probably talking about the Vulgate being perfect. And he says that this is similar to the people today. And we don't believe that the King James translators are perfect. And the translation, I don't use the word perfect. I don't believe there are any translational mistakes in it, but to use the word perfect would mean that there's nothing that could be added or taken away from it, and certainly I don't agree with that. I don't say it's imperfect, but I just don't like to use the words for man that we should use for God. As for God, His way is perfect, and we know that He is absolutely flawless, He's sinless, He's without any impeccability, without any sin of any kind. And certainly, we believe that the terms used of the Lord, I believe, should not be used of men. Men are sinners. He quotes me as a footnote on page 67, footnote number 64, or 61 rather, says, in defending the King James Bible, page 125, White says, quote, the diabolical, his author's emphasis, the diabolical nature of the New King James Version shows itself in their printing all the various readings of the Greek text in the footnotes, end of quote. Well, that certainly is the case. That's a diabolical methodology at printing these things in the study edition of the New King James. All right, let's go on to point number 86 out of 280 on page number 68. Page number 68, where he says this. There's a caption here in the center of the book, of the page. Did the KJV translators believe in their own inspiration? Well, that's a stupid remark. They didn't say they were inspired. God did not breathe out them. God can't breathe out anybody. He breathes out words. And inspiration of God, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that word given by inspiration of God is all one translation of one word, certainly Thanistos, Thanos plus Panao, to breathe out, God breathing out. He didn't breathe out translators. He breathed out words. That's point 86. Point number 87 out of 280. He says, their new edition TR, or their English translation, was perfect. Did they believe their new edition TR, or their English translation, was inspired or perfect? End of quote. My friend, we don't say that it was inspired. That's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I do not believe that God breathed out the English. He breathed out or inspired of God only his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. But it's the only accurate translation of those inspired and errant words that God has given to us in the English language. I don't believe any other English language can come close to being as accurate as our King James Bible. Proper texts that they use in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, proper translators, proper technique of translation, and proper theology. So they didn't have a new edition at all. That's made up, that's a lie, that's falsehood, and they should not say that. Let's just go on to point number 88 out of 280. Again on page 68, where Sproul says this. Did the KJV translators believe their work was so divinely inspired, as were the apostles and prophets, in either their Greek, Hebrew, or English word choices? End of quote. Well, they didn't believe it's inspired or God-breathed. God did not breathe out the words of the English or any of the other languages, Spanish, French, German. They translated the breathed-out words that were preserved by God through the centuries. They translated those words. As far as the word perfect is concerned, I believe the Greek underlying it, Hebrew underlying the King James Bible, those were inspired words, and I think they were perfect words. They were given by God's Spirit. But to have someone in this country, in this present status, do this is a little different. The King James translator's work or translation was certainly not inspired, and the work of the apostles and prophets, the words that God gave them are the inspired or God-breathed words, the apostles and prophets of the Old and the New Testament. But the men themselves are not inspired. He's saying that their work was as divinely inspired as were the apostles, as if the apostles were inspired. The words inspired means to breathe out, to God-breathe, to Anastas, Thaos plus Pnao, and the apostles were not breathed out by God. God does not breathe out men or people. He breathes out only words. And this is why this is a very erroneous statement indeed. Let's go on to point number 81 out of 280. I guess that's point number, I guess see the footnote on page number 81. If I had the footnote on 81, I think we've already covered perhaps. Let's take a look at it. Footnote under 81 would be the footnote that we've covered. Let's see, it says, Scrivener believed in textual criticism and knew that some corrections needed to be made. TR and the KJV. See the citation on page 4. That may be what is there. We're not sure exactly. But see the footnote on number 81. All right, that was already taken care of. Let's go on then to some other point, which would be point number 90. Point number 90 on page number 74. Or Sproul says this under the heading, What did early fundamentalists believe about inerrancy? All right, here's what he says. He says, the early fundamentalist fathers never extended this belief in an inerrant and infallible autograph to translations or versions. Many quotations will appear throughout the study. Let me just say, unquote, right there. My friend, we don't say that the fundamentalist fathers were wrong on this point. We don't agree with those that extend the belief in an inerrant and infallible autograph to translations or versions. Translations such as English or Spanish or French are not God-breathed. And I don't like to use the word inerrant, because we are errant in our beings as human beings. Even though we've been saved, we may have been saved by God's grace, we're still imperfect. I don't think the King James Bible as a translation was imperfect, but I don't like to use the word perfect. As we said before, as for God, His way is perfect, and we ought to use the things that God gives as perfect and not to minimize the things of God by using those for men. Men are not perfect. For instance, the imperfection of men in the King James translation, for example, as far as putting in the Apocrypha. Why did they put the Apocrypha in there at 1611? This is wrong for them to do. They did it because that's what they all did in those early days. All these different early King James, rather early English versions, had the Apocrypha in them, and so they put it in. And we don't believe that was right. We believe that to put in into the Bible things that are spurious, things that are false, things that have all kinds of contradictions to between them and the Scriptures, is wrong. And this should never have been done. But it was done. And so there are many imperfections. There are imperfections in the printers of the King James Bible. Here we have the Sinner's Bible. Thou shalt commit adultery. The Sinner's Bible. Now, you can't have perfection. All you have to do is have one mistaken spelling or the different type readers' errors, for instance, in the English, and we have many of those, and that's why they have many editions of the King James Bible. Just have to find one, and you say it's not perfect. It's not infallible. And so I like to use the terms that God uses for Himself: perfect, infallible, inerrant, but not for men and their products, including any translation. Point number 91 out of 280 is found on page number 75. It's listed under some of the things that James Gray has said. He says this: there's no translation absolutely without error. End quote. Well, I believe this is the case. I don't believe there are translational errors in our King James Bible. I've said this many times before. But he's right. I agree with him. There's no translation absolutely without error. There's always typographical errors. There's always other kind of mistakes and judgment and so on. And that was a good statement. Let's go on to point number 92 out of 280. This is found now on page number 78 of Sproul's work. There's a heading that reads as follows: should the view of the fathers of fundamentalism shape the nature of this discussion? Should it shape the nature of the discussion? Well, I don't think that we should worship these fundamentalist fathers, regardless of what they were, who they were. They didn't know a lot of things in those early days of 1909. And so on. And so we shouldn't follow the fundamentalist fathers. He refers to them all the time. The fathers of modern separation, he calls them that. Let's go to point number 93 out of 280, found on page 79. In footnote number 100, he says this: the text type depends upon over 4,000 manuscripts. Well, there's now 5,225 and 55, but there's even maybe 100 or 200 more than that. But he says now only 4,000, while its much smaller daughter, the TR, relies on only 7 manuscripts. Completely false again. The Textus Receptus relies upon the manuscripts and the words underlying the King James Bible, rely upon the manuscripts of over 5,210 manuscripts that we have. Over 99% of the evidence is bored up and built up and resting upon, or the King James Bible resting upon that evidence, over 99% of the evidence, manuscripts, 5,210 out of 5,255 that was in existence in 1967. And our men have done a good job in that. They have shown that the King James Bible is based upon the proper New Testament Greek words. Proper words, indeed. And over 99% of the manuscripts in favor of that versus less than 1% that go along with the words of the English Revised Version and the new versions and modern versions of today. Less than 1% of the Greek manuscripts that we have. Now let's go up to point number 94 out of 280. It's on page number 80. It's the last comment on this section, where he says, they created a New Testament, New Text of Receptus. He's talking about the translators now. They created a new text of Receptus, which, while it was in the stream of other very similar Greek printed texts, were not identical to any of them before it. He says that this text only became known as the text of Receptus 22 years after the translators finished their work in 1611. Scribner placed these English choices in Greek 270 years later. The KJV-TR was a completely new edition. Anyway, that's a false statement. He keeps repeating this. He talks about a King James Version Textus Receptus as if they made one of themselves. They did not do that. They followed the Beza's 5th edition, 1598. And then he says it was only called the Textus Receptus 22 years later after the translators finished their work, as if the King James was not based upon the Textus Receptus. That 1633 phrase in Latin, textum receptum omnibus, the received text received by all, is an acknowledgement that this was a text that had been received by all down through the centuries. It did not begin with 1633, but it was simply the word used to acknowledge the received text, traditional text, that had come down through the centuries of to the early church and then to the modern church of the King James day. But to say, as he's done in the conclusion, in the summary, that the KJV-TR was a completely new edition is false, as if they made up an edition, which they did not. Well, we're in chapter 3 now. This is the book we're talking about, preserved, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. He's the president of International Baptist College. I believe he's president. He's one of the leaders there. And he's the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Chapter 3. It's called God's Communication Through the Generations, Definitions Concerning Transmission of Text. That's what we're into now. We've come to point number 95 out of 280, and we're on page number 83, where he says this: conservative separatists have historically agreed that the original documents of Scripture were perfect, but that absolute perfection did not extend to copies of the original language documents or translations into the scores of languages around the world. We just pause right there. Whether the church and conservative Baptists or separatists have historically not agreed that copies were inerrant or that the copies of the original languages were perfect and inspired words, that's not the point. Those people can say what they wish. The Lord Jesus Christ's words, repeated in Matthew and Mark and Luke, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, to say his words do not pass away, that means there's a preservation of those words down to the very present and on into the future. And we believe the preservation does extend to the words of Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek that underlie our King James Bible. And to have him say that conservative separatists have historically agreed that the original document of Scriptures were perfect, but that absolute perfection does not extend to copies or the original languages, documents, or translation. Well, it doesn't extend to translation, but it does extend the two copies of them that are exact copies. If the original copies were perfect and inerrant, why wouldn't the exact copies also be perfect and inerrant? What he's trying to say is these conservative old people and the historic fundamentalist train of things, since they didn't believe that copies could be inerrant, just like the originals, does that mean that they couldn't be just because they didn't believe it? I don't hold to that at all. I'd go on to point number 96. This is under the caption transcription. It says transcription is the process of a faithful scribe making trusted copies of the original languages of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Well, there's a footnote there in that section. Footnote number 2, it says, the KJV-only advocates must accept either one document copied perfectly for 1,500 years, or the double inspiration of the KJV translators, to restore perfection to the world. So we either have to do one document copied perfectly, or for the double inspiration of the King James translators. Certainly we don't agree with double inspiration. And we believe that these have been preserved, these copies that underlie the King James Bible, have been preserved. They're the over 99% of the evidence that God has preserved. We don't go along with those B and L manuscripts of Alexandria, Egypt, those Gnostic manuscripts that deny the deity of Christ, his bodily resurrection, his blood atonement, various other doctrines. And we don't hold to that at all. And we do believe that there can be integrity and preservation of God's words as the Lord Jesus Christ himself has promised. The same verses repeated, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three synoptic gospels repeat that. Now let's go on to point number 97 out of 280. We're on page number 86 now, where Sproul says this. Will the majority of manuscripts, or maybe the oldest manuscripts, make this decision? Maybe the Bible used by the earliest Christians, Septuagint, will be the deciding factor as the text of various used for a long time. What I'm saying here is the Septuagint they claim was used for a long time. They claim the early church used it. My friends, the Septuagint, we believe, the Greek Old Testament, didn't even come into existence until Origen, his Hexaplus, six editions and six different versions of the Bible. That came into the 200s, not the A.D., not 200 B.C., but A.D., and the early church used the Hebrew. And they used the Hebrew because these were Jews that knew the Hebrew language indeed. All right, let's go on to number 98, I believe it is, out of 280. This is on page 86 also. It's under the caption of the Apocrypha. The autographs are Greek copies of the original footnote, number, I think it's number 12 or 11. Unless one is a Ruckmanite and simply writers, then something else happens. Let me just pause right there. As if he inspired the original writers. There again, the original authors. The original authors were not inspired. God did not inspire them. Inspired is from Thanatos. God breathed, and it does not mean that God can breathe out man. God can't inspire man. He led them. He carried them along. As it says in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is what happened. They weren't inspired. They weren't God-breathed. God does not breathe out men. He breathed out words. And that's what inspiration is. Thanatos, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Those five words tell it all. And those five words in English, our English Bible, good translation, given by inspiration of God, is translating one word, Thanatos, Theopneustos. It's Theos, which is God, Pneustos, which is the participle of pneo, to breathe, God breathed, breathed out by God. All right, point number 99 out of 280, I found on page number 91, where we read this. Because the KJV only positioned rejects ancient witnesses, Alexandrian text, and the majority of witnesses, majority text, its only rationale for existence, and so on. Now, what it's saying is they reject the Alexandrian ancient witnesses. My friend, why shouldn't we reject the ancient witnesses since they're wrong? B and Aleph were corrupted by the Gnostics of Alexandria, Egypt, and we don't want any part of them because they're false indeed. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friend, we're going to continue this review of God's Word Preserved by Dr. Michael Sproul. We believe it's got many errors in it, many things that are false and wrong. The King James Bible is the only accurate translation of the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. We don't believe it's doubly inspired. We don't believe in double inspiration. We believe it's accurate. We believe it's God's words kept intact in English. God's words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, kept intact in English. Praise God for it. And in the English translation of the King James Bible, we have God's words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek preserved in English. because of the accuracy of the translation, and we can depend upon it. We want to continue this next broadcast. We hope you'll stay tuned. See you then. Next broadcast. Well, we're at it again with the analysis of this book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I think he's the president of the, or a leader in the International Baptist College out of that same church. We have a total of 280 things last week. We misnumbered something, so it's not exactly 280. We're going to keep it at 280, and then we'll correct it later on. But 280 things we're going to talk about. Right now we're on number 100 out of 280. We're on page 91 of this book by Dr. Sproul, where he says this, Ruckman's, I was talking about Peter S. Ruckman, Ruckman's double inspiration of the 1611 translators. But then he says, if it does that, then fundamentalism is spared fanciful rewrites of history. KJV onlyism already rejects as flawed the majority of witnesses and the most ancient witnesses. It must explain why a minority of recent manuscripts, witnesses, is more powerful testimony to the text than either the majority of the manuscripts or the most ancient manuscripts. This is a major conundrum of the KJV only position, quotation. But we certainly differ with Sproul's analysis here. First of all, the text that underlies our King James Bible was not rewritten history. It's a text that was an edited text of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. That's the first thing. Secondly, the text that underlies our King James Bible is not supported by a minority of manuscripts. They say it rejects as flawed the majority of witnesses. It's absolutely false. The text that underlies our King James Bible, those words are in the majority of witnesses. Over 99% of the manuscripts that we possess today that have been handed down to us and preserved are the words that underlie our King James Bible. If we take Kurt Allen's count, 1967, of 5,255 manuscripts that he had in his hand, copies of them at least. If we take that, there's been 200-300 more since then. But 1967, 5,255. Of those, only B and Aleph, Vatican Sinai, and 40 are different from the text that underlies our King James Bible. We have over 5,210 manuscripts. Now, that's not a minority of anything. And Sproul is dead wrong in his saying that we're throwing away the majority of witnesses. The second thing he says, we're also throwing away, in the Greek words that underlie our King James Bible, the most ancient witnesses. Why not throw away the most ancient witnesses? B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai. These are manuscripts from Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt was the fountainhead of the Gnostic heresies. And it's known that the heretics in the Gnostic faith have changed and altered and twisted and added, subtracted, and changed the words in these manuscripts of Vatican Sinai, which are the most ancient manuscripts. No wonder we reject them. We reject them as the church rejected them. The church found them to be in error, and from 500 or 600 AD until the present, never copied and recopied these manuscripts because they knew them to be false. That's why they have no pedigree. They have no analysis from the apostolic times to the present. They stopped dead in their tracks from copying and recopying. They're ceasing of operation as of 450, 500 AD, and none was copied since then. And so these are faulty. And so, sure, we reject those so-called ancient manuscripts because they're not the best. They're the worst. And that's what we believe completely. Let's take a look now at point number 101. Out of 280. We're now on page number 96 of Sproul's book, where he says in the footnote, number 20, or 28, I guess it is, if the Masoretic text, that represents the 1769 revision that Christians use today, is the inerrant, exact, and infallible Word of God, then Timothy did not have that Bible. End of quote. And my friends, he's trying to say that Timothy, who had the words of God, didn't have that particular text, therefore he didn't have the Bible. This is ridiculous. Timothy, that underlined the text, was a Sanskrit from Sanskrit, every Greek text, wrote it, and period of was just 120. Sproul says this. He says, the KJV translator experienced God's providential guidance in those words. Whether Ku realized it or not, he is arguing for double inspiration. And let me just pause right there. Dr. Jeffrey Ku, the man who's the dean of the Far Eastern Bible College in Singapore, does not believe in double inspiration. And Ku puts these, Sproul puts these words in Dr. Ku's mouth. It's absolutely false. He doesn't believe in double inspiration. He is very strongly against the Peter Ruckman position that the King James Bible has been given by inspiration or God-breathed. He doesn't believe that's God-breathed at all. It's not double inspiration, and he's misquoting of Dr. Jeffrey Ku. Point number 103 out of 280, also on page 96, he says, persuasion separate from Timothy, would those of the KJV only persuasion separate from Timothy and Paul because they used the Greek translation of the Old Testament that is different than the Hebrew Masoretic text? End of quote. My friend, Dr. Sproul doesn't know for sure that the apostles had a Greek text. A Greek New Testament, or a Greek Old Testament, I should say. He doesn't know that, because it's false. There was no Septuagint, Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, in existence at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That came in the time of origin. 200 years A.D., plus or minus, 200 whatever his dates were, A.D., in Origen's Hexapla. He had six different translations, parallel columns. The fifth of those was the Septuagint, as it's called, the translation of the Old Testament into the Greek language. This is A.D., and so he can't really say that we're differing from Timothy and from Paul, who had the Old Testament in Greek, that may differ here and there from the Old Testament in Hebrew. Well, if it differs, the Greek is wrong, and the Hebrew is right. And the Greek was A.D., it wasn't B.C., and Timothy didn't have a copy of it, nor did Paul. Or did any of these men at all? All right, let's go to number 104. Comment number 104 out of 280. Still on page number 96, in one of these footnotes on that page. He says, the argument of a special history through the Waldenses by Mormon, Wilkinson, and Sorensen, or Ku's argument of dynamic preservation, attempts to bypass the thorny problem faced by those who want to enshrine perfection in Blaney's 1769 revision or its predecessor, the 1611. End of quote. My friend, we don't have a special history through the Waldenses by Mormon and so on. The Waldenses did use the received text. Waldenses' Bible, both in the early 2nd century and the later centuries, did use the text that underlies our King James Bible, and so the Waldenses' Bible was an accurate picture of the history of the translations from the right New Testament Greek words and text. Point number 105 out of 280, found on page 97, where Sproul says, he's quoting Jerry Jarmers now, Jerry Jarmers, and he states this, quote, while the scripture writers demonstrated a decided preference for the readings of the LXX or the Septuagint and so on and so forth, false. They couldn't have a preference for the Septuagint and the New Testament writers because the Septuagint was not in existence at the time of the New Testament writers. This is false. This is not true. And, of course, this whole premise is that the Septuagint was Old Testament. There is not a single scrap of evidence that all of the books from Genesis to Malachi were B.C. and before the Lord Jesus' birth. Oh, they had a few books here and there translated. We agree with that. But not the whole Bible, not the whole Old Testament in the Greek language. This is false. It's been repeated many times, and there's no proof for it. Let us go on to point number 106 out of 280. Now we're on page number 98 of Sproul's book. One of the footnotes again, where he says, the Septuagint is likely written about 200 B.C. Absolutely false again. Wasn't written in the 200 A.D., 400 years later, not 200 B.C. No proof of it from Genesis to Malachi. Just guesswork on the part of many, not only the new evangelicals and the modernists and the Roman Catholics, but some fundamentalists hold this same view. In fact, most of them do. Right, there's no complete Old Testament in Greek. A few books, yes. Then he quotes the letter of Aristeas. The letter of Aristeas, which is an apocryphal, false letter. And even in the letter of Aristeas, he says 70 men in 70 days quoted the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch, just the first five books of the Old Testament. He said nothing in the letter of Aristeas, which is phony and false and not proved, but he said nothing about the entire Old Testament at all. Let's go to point number 107 out of 280, from page number 99 of Sproul's book. It talks about contradicting Ruckman's date for the Septuagint, is the KJV preface, and so on. And he quotes four different statements about the preface of the King James Bible translators. Number one, they believe the Septuagint existed before Christ. Number two, they believe the Septuagint was the Apostles' Bible. Number three, the translators believe the Septuagint, with all of its problems, to be a perfect new translation. Number four, they believe the King James translates that the Septuagint was God's word, even though it was not perfect. Well, the King James translators were wrong in this concept of the Septuagint being B.C. They're not impervious to error. They're not perfect people, the King James translators. They were skilled in translation, but some of the other beliefs, we don't have to concur with them. First of all, most of them were the Church of England. I'm a Baptist, and so is Dr. Sproul is a Baptist. We don't have to concur with all their subjects and things. And many times these people of the critical text variety quote from the letter to the reader by the King James translators and say, well, they said this, and therefore it's got to be true. It could be true, it could be false. These are the opinions, not translations, but the opinions of the translators in the preface, and these opinions that say the Septuagint was in existence before Christ, we differ with, we disagree with, and the King James Bible translators were wrong in that point. The same as they were wrong to include the Septuagint, the Apocrypha, the 12 to 14 books of the Apocrypha in the original 1611 King James Bible. They were wrong in that. They're wrong in other things. They're not perfect. Let's go to point number 108 out of 280, and I'll find on page 100. They're looking at Edward F. Hills. And they quote him. I just simply say, Edward F. Hills could be wrong. He doesn't have to represent the truth, saying that there's a date of the Septuagint that is B.C. Edward Hills has a good book on the defense of the King James Bible, but he's not perfect. We don't have to agree with him on that. He was a Presbyterian. I'm a Baptist. And so is Sproul a Baptist. And we differ with the Presbyterians on many doctrines of the faith, including infant baptism and various other things. He was probably a five-point Calvinist. I'm not a five-point Calvinist. He believed that Christ died only for the elect. I believe he died for the sins of the whole world. So he's not perfect. He can be quoted here, and Sproul quotes him, saying that the Septuagint was B.C. We believe it's A.D., and he has no proof of it. And completely, until he has proof, why does he take this opinion? That's just an opinion and guess. All right, let's go to point number 109 out of 280, on page 101 now. Talks about Dean Burgon. Well, he's a good Church of England man. And he says, again, it talks about the pre-Christian date for the Septuagint. And so on, the Greek wording of Luke 1:32. Dean Burgon believed that it was a Septuagint that was B.C. and not A.D. Well, and then he quotes the translators of the King James. These men may be wrong in these areas. We certainly agree with them in many other things. Certainly we agree with Mr. Hills. Dr. Hills certainly agree with Dean Burgon in many things, but we don't have to agree with them on this falsity that the Septuagint was B.C. when there's no documented proof of that at all. That the entire Bible, just some parts of the book, some books of the Bible, the Old Testament, yes, were in Greek, but not the whole thing. until the Hexapla, the sixth column Bible of origin, 200 A.D., not 200 B.C., 400 years later. My page number 102, point 110, now out of 280, it talks about Metzger, Bruce Metzger. Talks about the Septuagint being the early Christian church. It was the Bible of the early church. That's another false statement. We don't have to agree with Metzger, who's an apostate, who's an unbeliever, and who is for the critical text. We don't have to agree with him. Point number 111 out of 280. Letter of Aristeas, he's quoting that. The views of Alexandria, they say they translated the Hebrew text into Greek about 200 years before Christ. Then again, we don't have to agree with that. As I say, the letter of Aristeas says only 70 men in 70 days translated the first five books, or the Pentateuch as it's called, but not the entire Bible. Point number 112 out of 280, we're still on page 102. Sproul says, did God not promise perfect preservation to every generation of every word according to the many of the King James Only movement if one does not believe every word in the 1769 King James, which uses the Masoretic text, is identical to the original of Moses, then God has lied to believers concerning preservation. End of quote. Well, God has preserved his word to every generation. Does that mean that everyone in the world has looked at that preserved word? Of course not. Has everyone in the world looked at a Bible today? Of course not. There are thousands and millions of people that have never laid eyes on any Bible in their language or any Bible in any other language. Does that mean God hasn't preserved his word just because the whole world, every person in the world, hasn't seen that Bible? Ridiculous. God preserved his words, Hebrew words, Greek words, Old Testament, New Testament, and he's preserved them whether everyone has seen them and have them in their hand or not. This is a stupid argument against Bible preservation. We're going to number 113 point out of 280. We're on page 103 now, where Sproul says, talks about the Septuagint, but they also have the Septuagint and not the Masoretic text as the underlying text behind the translation of the Old Testament. This, again, is false. They can't prove it. And they think that the Septuagint is the B.C. when we believe it to be A.D., and they don't have any proof that it wasn't A.D. And we don't have any proof that it was B.C. The whole entire Old Testament, Malachi, at the last, Genesis the first, from Genesis to Malachi. All right, let's go on to point number 114 out of 280. We're on page 103 now still. Or a footnote here says, footnote number 52, the TR, or Textus Receptus, is derived from an extreme minority of late manuscripts. Absolutely false. The Textus Receptus is derived from over 99% of the manuscripts that we have in our hands as of 1967. Of the 5,210, according to Dr. Jack Mormon, are words that underlie our King James Bible. That's 99% of the evidence that we had in 1967, manuscripts that were preserved. And the other text, the modern text, the critical text, the Westcott and Hort, Nestle Aulin, United Bible Societies, that comprises only less than 45 manuscripts. Vatican and Sinai and 43 others. And it's false to say the text receptus derived from an extreme minority of the manuscripts. The reason they say that is because they lyingly say the King James Bible was based upon Erasmus' text of 1516. Then they lyingly say that Erasmus only had seven manuscripts, because he may have had even more than that in his hand, but he referred to one or two or 300 of other readings from manuscripts of Europe where he went to search out various readings. And that's the first lie, they say, because they think it went from Erasmus, and he allegedly had just seven manuscripts. That's false. In the first place, the King James Bible never was taken from Erasmus' Greek text, but from Beza's Greek text. We said this repeatedly on the broadcast. Fifth edition of Beza, 1598. Not Erasmus, 1516, 82 years earlier. And so it's false to say our Textus Receptus King James Bible Greek text is from a minority of manuscripts. An extreme minority. False, false, and more false. Let's go to point number 115 out of 280. We're on page number 110 now, where Sproul says, do modern scholars have copies of the Septuagint that date before Christ or to the time of Christ? Yes, they do. End of quote. My friend, that's false. They don't have the complete Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi before the time of Christ at all. They have one or two books. They have a few things. They have sketches. They don't have the whole thing at all. It was never translated completely Genesis to Malachi in the Greek language before Christ, only after Christ, at the time of Origen, over 200 A.D. or beyond, whatever his dates are. That was what was found in his hexapla, six-column Bible that he had, and the fifth column was the Septuagint. Well, let's go on to point number 116 out of 280. We're now on page 111, where Sproul says, this historic fact of the Essenes possessing the Septuagint, LXX, is another in the coffin of the KJV, only history concerning the Septuagint. My friend, again, it's false. He says the historic fact of the Essenes possessing the Septuagint. My friend, the Essenes didn't possess any Septuagint, Genesis to Malachi, because it didn't exist. They have never produced a copy, B.C., at all, that can contain this. Not at all. This is a false statement, and it cannot be proved by Sproul or any other person, because it does not exist. It's not true until 200 or so A.D. at the Hexapla of Origen. Let's go to page number 111, point number 117 out of 280, where Sproul says, if Christ or the apostles cited a less than absolutely perfect version, that is, Septuagint, LXX, then why are some people today attacking and angrily separating from their brothers and sisters in Christ who use a modern version, like the New King James Version, that does translate from the Masoretic text, and therefore is closer to the original text by KJV-only standards than a version used by Christ and the apostles? End of quote. There's so much falsity in that statement and quotation, I don't know where to begin. The first thing and the most important thing is the Septuagint was not the text used by Christ and the apostles. We have an entire book that's written about, did Jesus quote from the apostles, or did he quote from the Septuagint? Did Christ and the apostles use and quote from the Septuagint? Dr. Kirk DeVitro is the author of that report. It's available. If you're interested, let us know. We'll show you and tell you how to get that report about the Septuagint. It's absolutely false to say it was in existence when it was not, and there's no proof for it at all. All right, let's go on to point number 118 out of 280. We're on page 114 now, where Sproul, again, has Christianity ever debated a version that is accepted as inerrant because of the longevity of usage? And then he says, now it is clear that the LXX or Septuagint predates Christ. And to quote off another false statement, just the repetition by Sproul that the Septuagint is pre-Christ and before Christ doesn't make it so, but he repeats it over and over, does he not? Notice it says, it's clear that the discussion can be asserted if the Septuagint has been translated in A.D. 200, as Ruckman and some others in the KJV-only group would like to show, their followers would believe, then Augustine has no reason to argue that the church had always had the Septuagint. Well, that's point number 919. He's quoting Augustine. He says that Augustine can be wrong, too, and he is wrong in many things. He's certainly wrong in this particular point about having a pre-BC, before Christ, edition of the entire Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. Absolutely impossible and absolutely false. And I don't agree with Dr. Ruckman on most things, but I do agree that the Septuagint is A.D. and not B.C. That's very clear from history. All right, let's go on to page number 118, point number 120 out of 280. He says this. He talks about the traditional text. The traditional text, like Scrivener's claimed Erasmus text, first TR, was extremely faulty because of the speed in which Erasmus produced it. This is next night's Scrivener, explaining to Rasmus. So this certainly thing, the printed Greek Testament was as a strong defender of the traditional text like Scrivener. Let's pause right here. Time's up for now. Let's start this in next time. I remind you that we're here and we're going to continue this, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get them. This is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, and I'm the director of the Bible for Today. I want you to order these books. We're going to continue this, Lord willing, next week. We want you to stay tuned. This is an important book, God's preserved word. God's word preserved a defense of historic separatist definitions and beliefs. Dr. Sproul is there of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's the president or leader in International Baptist College out of his church. And this is really false. There's no question about many things in this book. We want you to understand it. We want you to stay tuned, because we stand for the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek words and Aramaic words. And that's where we stand. That's what we're going to prove. So join us next week. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated at the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 992. 992 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. Or our website is biblefortoday.org. And on that site, you can hear 24/7, verse-by-verse preaching, Romans through Revelation, by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 3rd revised edition, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us same time, same station, anytime at 856, well, that's the regular station, 856-854-4452, or email 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, if you order your Defined King James Bible, published from the Bible for Today, uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 54,000 are printed and distributed all over the world. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friend? The Defined King James Bible. I will continue our analysis of this book, God's Word Preserved, a defense of the historic separatist definitions and beliefs, by Dr. Michael Sproul. Dr. Sproul is the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's also connected, probably the president of the International Baptist College there in Tempe, out of his church. We believe there are many errors in it, many strange things in it, many statements that are false. 280 of those statements, and we're on statement number 120 out of the 280. We're on page 118. And he says, the first printed Greek Testament, he says, he did create the first Greek Testament. He says, but even a strong defender of the traditional text, like Scrivener, claimed Erasmus' first text of Septuagint was extremely faulty because of the speed in which Erasmus produced it. Well, so what if it was faulty? Erasmus' text of 1516 could have been as faulty as anything. That's why the King James translators chose to take a text and take the edition of Beza, 1598, 82 years later after Erasmus, so they would not be having these errors in print, because he did rush it into print, and so that has nothing to do with it. Scrivener knew that the text that was used was not Erasmus, but it was Beza, 5th edition, 1598. We're at point number 121 out of 280. We're on page number 121 now, where Sproul says this: to be consistent with their view of no inspired KJV, they must criticize the accepted Bible of the Spanish world. End of quote. All right, my friends, we don't believe that any translation is God-breathed. And that's what inspiration means. Theopneustos is the word used in 2 Timothy 3:16. Theopneustos is from two Greek words, theos, which is God. Pneustos is an adjective form of pneo, the verb meaning to breathe. God breathed, given by inspiration of God, inspired by God. That's what that word means. And we don't have any New Testament or Old Testament given by inspiration of God in the King James Bible or any other language. He says to be consistent with their view of an inspired King James Bible. We don't have that verb. We don't believe that view. They criticize the accepted Bible of the Spanish world. My friend, the accepted Bible of the Spanish world probably is about 1960. That's probably what he means. Doesn't say the date. That Bible is Westcott and Hort through and through. That's why Dr. Humberto Gomez, one of the advisory council members of our Dean Burgon Society, has worked hundreds of hours on his Spanish Bible to conform it to the Masoretic Hebrew text and to the Textus Receptus and Uncleansed King James Bible and the New Testament text itself. That's why he's worked on that. That's why we can't criticize the Spanish Bible, because it's wrong. It's filled with Westcott and Hort critical text readings and other errors. I hope you get this Humberto Gomez's Bible, Spanish Bible. If you're interested in one, tell your friends about it. It's an excellent Bible. It's in hardback or it's in bonded leather. He's working to raise funds to get it in a parallel version. King James Bible on one side, Humberto's Spanish Bible on the other. All right, number 122 point out of 280. We're on page 122 now, where he says, Sproul says, what passages cause difficulty for the perfect preservation of the KJV translation view? Are there word differences that change meanings between 1611 and 1769? My friend, we don't have the perfect preservation of the King James Bible. That's not the point. There are two ways that I look at preservation, Bible preservation. One is a capital letter P, preservation, and that refers to the original words that God gave to man through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and then to the writers. That refers to the original Hebrew words, original Aramaic words, original Greek words. Capital P, preservation. Like in Psalm 12, in verse 6, thou wilt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation to forever. This is capital P, preservation of the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. I also believe in a small, lowercase p, preservation word, and I refer that to the King James Bible, and I say that's God's words preserved in English. God's words preserved in English, because it's an excellent translation of those capital P, preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that God has preserved for us right down to the present. And so the King James Bible is not capital P, preserved, but it's small p, preserved, because it preserves accurately in English those words of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Well, let's go on to point number 122 out of 280. 122. Now we're at the 123. 123 is on page number 125, where Sproul says this, talking about some responses exist to these statements. Number one,
God's method and definition of preservation might be different than those of the KJV only persuasion prefer. For God never lies. KJV-onlyism might misinterpret and misunderstand God's word, but God never lies. Well, that's true. God never does lie. But why is he saying we're misinterpreting? And, of course, as I say, I don't go along with this KJV-only position. I use only the King James Bible, but I don't like to be called a King James Version-only person, because that's the denomination, that's the name used to smear every Bible-believing Christian that uses the King James Bible. That's the word used for Ruckmanites and Peter Ruckman followers. And I'm not a Peter Ruckmanite, and I'm not a Peter Ruckman follower. I am against his position on the King James Bible. He says it's not simply a translation. It's a revelation from God the Holy Spirit directly, including the italics. That did not happen, my friends. These men worked hard, they translated accurately, but they did not receive the King James English by the inspiration and God breathing out of the words of God by God himself. This is false. Point 124 out of 280, still on page 125, Sproul says, quote number two, if an individual today has the perfect Bible, then those Christians of 1611 did not have it because word changes and plain English revision have affected the meaning. My answer to that is, I do not claim the King James Bible as we have it today, the Plain English edition, whatever, 1769, is perfect. It's not imperfect, but I don't like to use those words. I do say the Hebrew words, the Aramaic words, the Greek words that have been preserved for us to this day, that those words that are underlying the King James Bible are perfect and are complete because God gave them to us. Point number 125 out of 280, we're still also here on page 125, where Sproul says this. He says, the word that's talking about, it's important to remember, the word differences among all Greek and Hebrew manuscripts are minor and do not affect any doctrine that is not taught somewhere else. That's an end of quote. That's one of the biggest lies that Sproul has put forth yet. First of all, as far as the difference between the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, I'm not getting into the Hebrew manuscripts because no one has really compared them exactly as far as the differences between the ones that are used by the modern versions and the ones used by the King James translators, the Masoretic traditional Ben Chaim text. But let's take up this New Testament. He says there's not many differences. The differences are minor. And then they don't affect any doctrine not taught elsewhere. My friend, differences minor. Dr. Jack Mormon has taken the pains and the time to go through every single word of the New Testament, some 140,000 words. And Dr. Jack Mormon has just come out with a new book that's being published as we now speak on this radio station and record the tape. It's going to be coming out and finish and completion August the 4th, 2006. In that book that's published jointly by the Dean Burgon Society and by the Bible for Today, in that book, Dr. Jack Mormon spells out over 8,000 differences between the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible and the Nestle Aland 26th and 27th edition Greek text. From Matthew to Revelation, this book you've got to get. This book is new, hardback edition, beautiful cover. You'll see it and you use it 6 1/8 by 9 inches in total space. But that shows that this man is dead wrong when he says the differences among the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts are minor. They're not minor. 8,000 differences are not minor. When I went to school, 8,000 is major. If you said a man owed you 80 cents, and in fact he owes you $8,000, that's minor. Is that minor for you? Well, I'd lend you 80 cents anytime if I could have $8,000 from you, if you think that's minor. It's major. And the problem is the men on the other side, including Dr. Sproul and all the others that are with him, they don't know any better. They're spouting out untruths and falsehoods that they do not understand, and they should get that book by Dr. Jack Mormon published by the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society. Buy it for them so they can no longer spew out this horrible, horrible falsehood that the word differences among the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts are minor. Then also let them get another book. A book by Dr. Jack Mormon, because he says it, and do not affect any doctrine that is not taught somewhere else. My friend, he's covering himself somewhat. Not any doctrines taught by someone else. There are multitudes of doctrines that are involved here, some 356, in fact. Dr. Jack Mormon has written another book, 100 pages in all, where he outlines 356 doctrinal passages that are used by the New International Version and other modern versions. He shows 356 passages that are doctrinally important. And many of those, not just a minor amount, but many of these, affect doctrine that are not taught elsewhere. And this, of course, is important indeed. So he's wrong in both counts, number 125 out of 280. Let's go to page number one, another number, rather, difference number 126 out of 280. We're on page 126 now, Sproul's book, where he says this, KJV-onlyism purports that if one cannot know every word in the King James 1769 revision of the Bible is perfect, then one can never identify any word as true. Notice, if one cannot know every word in the King James is perfect, he can't know any word as true. Well, myself, the discussion in preservation, middle option does occur. Well, I don't use the term perfect for anything that man has done. I don't think it's imperfect. Believe me, I believe the accuracy is there of the King James Bible. I think they've used one of the words, of the many words they could have used, they used at least one correctly. I believe they followed at least one of the proper rules of grammar and of language in the Old Testament Hebrew language, New Testament Greek language. At least one of the grammatical principles they followed that's correct. Others could be followed, just like other words could be used. But I don't like to use the word perfect. It's accurate. It's tremendously important that we have it, and we praise God for it. But I don't know exactly what he's getting at in this position for every word revision being perfect. Every word is accurately translated, we believe, at least that's one of the meanings that are used. Let's go on to point number 127 out of 280. We're still on page number 126, where Sproul says this. The tremendously preserved Word of God has in each version, in every language of the Bible, mistakes of less moment. But these mistakes do not affect individuals, and that individuals do not have God's Word today. They do not mean that the individuals do not have God's Word today. Christians have all the information that they need on every version, in every version. So what the different versions may have small little mistakes. That's all right. They're human. That's why I don't like to use the word perfect for anything but the Lord. As for God, His ways are perfect. Let's go to point number 128 out of 280, also on page 126, where Sproul says this. He says, Christians have all the information they need in every version, and some versions are clearly better than others. Well, that's true. Some versions are. And I put the King James Bible as a version better than all the others in the English language. And that's why I agree with him on that point. Some versions are better than all. I don't go along with these modern versions that change and add and subtract the different words of God at all, in any way. All right, let's go on to point number, I have another 128, two 128s. We'll go ahead for sake of argument. On page 133, see, I'm not perfect either. I get some of these pages wrong and some of these points wrong. But point 128A, I guess you might call it, talking about Dr. Strauss. Page 133 right now. He says this, quote, the Masoretes added vowel points to the text around 500 to 950 A.D., end of quote. That is false. Dr. Thomas Strauss, who is the dean of the Emmanuel Baptist Theological Seminary there in Newington, Connecticut, has written a paper on the vowels of the Hebrew. He makes a very good case, quoting many others he's followed in the historic line of Hebrew and the writings that they had. He shows that the vowels in the Hebrew language were original, that their words could not be without the vowels. It's not a word. And to say that the vowels, these vowel points didn't come in until 500 to 950 A.D. by the Masoretes, who added them, is to say we never had a real Bible with words in it until 500 or 900 A.D. So the people were without the words of God because the words weren't there, just a consonant. It doesn't make a word. And to say that this is the case is totally, totally false. I used to believe this. I was taught this. It was in my original King James Bible defending the King James Bible. I changed it in this third edition so that it doesn't appear. But I was told and I was taught at Dallas Theological Seminary by Dr. Merle F. Unger, who was our teacher in Hebrew, and others, that the Masoretes put in these vowel points. And they didn't know what the words were until they put the points in for sure. Well, Dr. Strauss lists a number of illustrations. If you do not have the vowels in Hebrew, you could have all kinds of different words rather than the true word. And we'd never know what words were real and what words were not real. And he shows very clearly that these vowels were part of the original Hebrew text and Hebrew words. Let's go to point number 129 out of 280, page number 133 also, where he says this: if this double inspiration of translators is accurate, then why did God not answer, is this, did not inspire the Masoretic and Septuagint translators to put both words, to put both words, end of quote. Let me just pause right there. Put both words of what? Doesn't seem to be a complete sentence. What he's saying is this. He talks about if God did not inspire the Masoretes and Septuagint translators. God did not inspire any man, no man, whether it's the translators of the King James, whether it's the Masoretes that put in these pointing things. The word inspiration and inspired comes from a Greek word, theopneustos, or theopneustos. And theopneustos comes from two words, as we've said many times before on the radio. Theos is God. Pneustos is an adjective part of the verb pneo, from the verb pneo, which means to breathe. God, breathe. That's what it means. And if it means God breathed, God breathed out words. Pasek lafe theonosos. All scripture, all that, with all the words that are written down, are breathed out by God. God breathed. God did not breathe out men. And so you can't have God breathe men, God breathe translators, God breathe the ones of the Masoretes or any of the other kinds of men. He didn't breathe out men, he breathed out words. Point number 130 out of 280, he says this, quote, the correct answer is this, is a difference of less moment that does not affect one doctrine. That's what he says, my friends, that is false. The difference between different Greek texts in the New Testament do affect doctrine. 356, to be exact, passages, as Dr. Mormon's book has shown. Get that book. Large page, 100-page book showing the 356 doctrinal passages where the NIV has off base and the modern versions that follow that false text are off base. Point number 131 out of 280, also found on page 133, where Sproul says this. He says, however, this difference effectively eliminates the KJV-only position that the Greek Textus Receptus of Scrivener and the Masoretic text are the exact words of the autograph, because these two texts are different words, use different words to explain the same event. End of quote. My friend, this is false. And if it is true, different words explain the same event. The same event in the Old Testament is used by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament to point out the need for that verse and interpreting that verse for the New Testament setting. And just because there are changes in the quotation of the Old Testament in the New doesn't mean that either is false. It means the Holy Spirit of God chose to change the meanings, the words, the phrases, add, subtract, whatever, in order to push that for the present-day Greek readers and listeners that were listening to the words of God. Now, that's not a contradiction at all. And so he's saying the exact words. Now, friend, they are the exact words. We believe that very clearly, that those are the preserved words that God has given to us for our present day. All right, let's go on to point number 132 out of 280. 132. It's found over here on page 138. It's on the summary, where Sproul says this. He says, a double inspiration, new of the KJV translators. Let me see here. The KJV only position of accepting either one perfect document passed from one good guy to another, good guy, for hundreds of years, in the meantime, and caves of Europe, or a double inspiration view of the King James translators product that, however, the Holy Spirit guided the 1611 translators to select certain words or phrases that do not have any Greek or Hebrew manuscripts supporting them, and claim these Latin words as exactly the words of the autograph should cause any separatist, evangelical pastor, or layman grave concern about the KJV-only interpretation of Scripture and history. End of quote. That's a long statement and a long quotation. What he's saying is that we don't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God on these King James translators to select certain words. They used a text. They were not led by the Spirit of God. They were not God-breathed words of the English. They had God-breathed words preserved for them of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and they gave accurate translation of those words into the English language. And so I don't know what he's trying to get at there, but I certainly don't agree that they created the TR. The translators, again, he repeats this same lie. The KJV translators created the TR underlying the KJV, then translated the KJV. That's absolutely false. Let me go on to this point number 134 out of 280. He says, therefore, if some claim to believe that the perfection of the TR text receptor that underlies the King James Version, these people believe in the inspiration of the KJV translators just as much as Ruckman does. Absolutely false. There again, he goes into the inspiration of the King James translators. My friend, the King James translators or any other man can't be inspired or God-breathed. God did not breathe out men. Again, the fallacy of inspired people. This is a horrendous heresy of Sproul. I don't know why he puts it out and continues to use it. There's nobody that can be inspired of God. No person can be inspired of God. That means God-breathed. And when it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's the scripture, the words, plus the graphe, things that have been written down, are God-breathed, not men. Stupid, stupid terminology that he's repeated many times. Let's go on to point number 135 out of 280. We're here in page for chapter 4 now, beginning chapter 4, over on page number 139. God's communication through the multitude of counselors. He quotes this, the historic beliefs of evangelicals, separatists, and Baptists concerning the communication, transmission, and preservation of God's Word. Now, by the way, this word, God's Word, he doesn't mean God's words, simply the Word. This is the new and upcoming definition, or redefinition, rather, of the Word of God as not being identical with the words of God. They say Word of God simply means the message, the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, but not the words. My friend, if you only have a message and a thought, an idea, and a concept, and you don't have the right words, you're in trouble because you must have the words. So he says the preservation of God's words. We differ with that completely. I point number 135 out of 280. We're now on page 141. At the foot of the page, he says this. He talks about Brandenburg, claims the text receptus. After Scrivener back-translated the 1611 translators' choices of English into Greek. Now, my friend, he said that before. He'll say it again, probably. Absolute, totally fabricated and false. Dr. Scrivener, in his Scrivener's edition that we have here in our Bible for Today bookstore, called Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, Dr. Scrivener did not back-translate English back into Greek. He had an edition of the Greek New Testament, Beza's 5th edition, 1598, in his hands and used that. Except for the 190 places at the back of the appendix, he says the translators used some of the Greek text. He did not back-translate at all. Lie completely. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9, where he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, or shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for defending the King James Bible and the defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This is Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you to have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Be sure to get Defending the King James Bible and also the Defined King James Bible. We're going to continue, my friends, next week. Same time, same station, as well, as long as the Lord gives us wisdom and guidance in this thing. We're going to continue the analysis of this book, which we believe has got many, many errors in it. God's Word preserved. Didn't say God's words, simply God's Word. The ideas and thoughts, but not his words. This is by Michael Sproul, the pastor there of the Tri-City Baptist Church, and I think the president also of the International Baptist College that's run from that church. And many things we're going to say. We have 280 different points we want to talk about, and we've completed 136 of those 280 points. We're going to continue. We hope that you'll stay tuned. But time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 10:9. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long.